Greetings. This is Nigeria Anderson, and I have Meshawn Young on the line with me. She has a new single out called Bounce Back, which I am loving right now, honestly. Meshawn, tell us a little bit about this single and what made you bring it out. And I tell you, I think it's a good New Year's song, so everybody need to go on download that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yes, Bounce Back is the first single off of an upcoming project, but that song, I wanted to definitely introduce it the first part of the year, given that it really is about being resilient. It really is about coming back from that place that I think we all have been at some point in our lives where, you know, it just looks gloomy, it looks grim. You don't really know what your next is, right? You know? But if you stay there, you will definitely stay there. So my message is really just to come back from that place. And I wrote it from a really personal experience. My husband suffered a heart attack this past July, and he suffered a heart attack on the golf course while visiting his mother. And when I arrived, I was actually performing, I was traveling at the time. And so when I arrived to Mississippi and I got to the hospital, I did not know the severity. I knew it was bad. And when they came in to tell me it was 96% blockage, 93, 96, it was between that range of blockage, I couldn't believe it. And my husband is typically a really positive guy. He definitely tries to be that in our household. But I saw that moment where anything I sang wasn't soothing him. You know, he didn't. It was at that moment where I think for the first time I saw fear and I saw concern, and I felt, you know, that he didn't think that he could bounce back from this. He's pretty athletic. He's pretty active. But the only thing I could think of to tell him was that, don't worry, your bounce back is going to be better than you ever thought. No song, no nothing, you would hit him, but those words for whatever, and just telling him, your bounce back, you got to remember that you can come out of this. And I began to say those words, and then before I knew it, while he was actually in surgery, I began writing the words, because the Bible says, you know, speak things not as they are, but as they will be. And I just believed that. And I had to believe that for him at a time when he couldn't believe that for himself.
Come on.
In coming out the first of the year with that, I think many, you know, as I'm on the road, I hear stories from people who have experienced, maybe not that experience, but they've experienced something that just stopped them in their tracks, that made them think, you know, man, you know, what, how did I get here? You know, how do I get out of here? You know, everybody, I don't care, the best of us has been through it in a down spot. And this is just a message to say, you know what, you can't look or do anything about what yesterday was.
That's right.
You can't go back and change a thing. You know, in fact, I say, what if will never change a thing. You can what if all you want to, you know, but it's not going to change what was. So you got to believe in what's to come and where you're going, and not necessarily look back on where you were, only to say how far you come.
Right.
And that's my message.
Yeah, no, that's a good message, and it's true. And especially now, I always say the Holy Spirit in us is our bounce back spirit. That's what helps us bounce back. Like you said, darkness is going to come, but we know Christ is that small light in us that make us say, let me just try one more time again. Let me see if I could do it. And
that's why,
you know, I always say, and people think you don't need Christ, because I hope you don't think you did that. Okay, that's just me. But okay. Hope you don't think you did that. Okay, you did not do that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That was the Holy Ghost bounce back spirit. Okay. Now you've worked with some phenomenal people, and I was like, okay. See, when I see an artist and then I see they did backgrounds for someone, and I see the person who they did backgrounds for, I'm like, oh, they can sing. Okay. Because it's like, you know, oh, well, yeah, okay, they good. You know, now, Pastor Marvin L. Wines, who can just sing about the raindrops and a pen in your hand, and super amazing. The whole Winans family, CC. I mean, when you're attached to that, that's just like, oh, okay. So, you know, you toured with with them. You opened up. Just tell us that experience. Because, you know, I'm not always into name dropping, but, you know, you got to name drop when you see Winans. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it really was an absolutely amazing experience. And in all honesty, you know, that's how God is amazing. When I came to Detroit, I had no intention of professionally doing anything in singing-wise. Human resources was my field. I was doing well in that area.
Right.
I was a leader. And so, you know, everything was wonderful. You know, my accounts looked really nice. And I was blessed and I was thankful, but there was a tugging of the heart. And the Lord never let that leave my heart. You know, you've got a gift and you need to use it. So to make a long story short, when I had joined Pastor Winans Church, and for 7 years, I sat at the very last balcony in the top last row in the top balcony, and I actually served as the greeter at the door. Finally, I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. I hear you. I decided to join the choir. Now, most people join for, you know, I'm not going to say most. That's not accurate. But there are some that come because they do have a gift and they're hoping that pastor can, you know, help to refine, mentor, or whatever.
Right.
But that wasn't my testimony.
Right.
I just really, that time, I really enjoyed the word that was being said to me. But when God told me to join, I never asked for a solo. I never, you know, went in telling people, you know, I can just sing a little bit, you know, anything. And so I sat in the last row of the choir practice. I was like, Lord, I'm here. I'm not trying to be in the front, you know. But the Lord had his way, and pastor out of the folks that was there, there's a young lady who was sitting beside me. She said, I think this girl right here can sing. And so it was then that I actually started doing solos. And one day this was probably, now mind you, I'd been there 7 years and he had just been my pastor. So I never told him I could sing.
Right.
I never told anyone that I sang. And he said, you know, he brought me aside and he was just about to come out with his first project, his first solo project, Alone But Not Alone.
Oh, okay.
And he said, I'm going to call you because I want you to background for me in my first performance. It's going to be at the Fox Theater. And now, mind you, I'd never done anything professional. And so I literally stood there stone-faced like, this can't be happening. This
right.
cannot be happening. And before I knew it, I was at rehearsals with Tim Bowman Jr., Marvin Winans the third, his son, and three other background singers who were just, you know, had sung with, you know, Donnie McClurkin and Fred Hammond and all these other amazing artists. And here I am, one of five that had never done anything like that. And then to top it off, he says, oh, and I want you to sing a duet with me. Oh, wow.
Right.
You've got to be kidding me. This is nobody but God
right.
at this point, you know.
Right.
So that's how that formed. And then, you know, when I was able to tour, you know, with him, and it was amazing. It was amazing to watch him be a servant on the road. You know, I remember us performing at Tyler Perry's when he first opened his studios in Atlanta, the very first studios he opened. We were down there, and so I performed with him, and we sang in front of these greats. So it was Oprah Winfrey there. It was at that time Ruby Dee, and
right.
I was Sidney Poitier and Sissy Tyler. Was a sea of greatness, you
right.
know, sitting out there. And one of the things I remember most is how when we were sitting out at dining out in on the lawn, Pastor Winans got up and he went over to Bishop Morton, Bishop Paul Morton, and he said, he rolled up his sleeves and he was like, because it was a buffet area in this little VIP area they had, and he says, let me serve you. And I thought, wow. You know, wow.
Right.
You know, he is rolling up his sleeves and he is going over and he is showing that you can still serve, even though you're never too far, too high up, that
right.
you can't still serve. And I learned a valuable lesson just from the things I saw. He treated the background singers as though we were on the same level as him. If he flew first class, we flew first class, as best he could. You know, if he stayed in this particular hotel, we stayed there. And he taught me how to handle my band when I'm on the road. You know, I try as best I can to make sure everybody knows we're one.
That's
I can't do this without you, and we're a team. So it was amazing. It was an awesome experience, one that I cherish and I'll never forget, and learn so much from.
That's so awesome. And, you know, at this time, I need to hear some good news about a bishop and a man of God. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm just saying, I needed to hear that. Blessed me so well. And, you know, I admire him anyway, musically. That was awesome. So thank you so much for that. And it's so important to hear that there's a baton being passed, because it's so easy to be like, oh, I worked for so-and-so and they treated me horrible. And I mean, rightfully so. I may get some of those stories, but I needed that one right there. So singer, songwriter, and producer as a female. I was so excited to see those three titles, singer, songwriter, and producer. And I have this question. When you're a female, can you songwrite and produce for males just as males songwrite and produce for females? I needed to know that. I need to know that.
I am so glad you asked that question. Because one of the things, in fact, we actually are working with a gentleman now in the UK, and I'll be producing some projects for him coming out late next year. But anyway, yes, I believe, as I told my husband, I said, you know, I believe that writing from a perspective of what or how I would want to be treated by a man, and you saying these things in the words, I can do that. I know as a female what we want. I know how we want to feel. I know what we, it's not all about you rubbing me this way and that way and the sex and all of these other, it's not all about that. It's not all about that, you know, all the time. We want to be loved also, but, you know, make love to the mind, you know. There's so much more to intimacy. It's so much more than what we have dummied it down to be.
Come on.
I think as a female, you can give that perspective such a way where it doesn't, we're tired of being called so many other things. I'm not saying all do that, but there are a number of them.
Right.
With this disrespect, there's where's the lyrical maturity as we get older? You know,
as we
become seasoned, we don't want to hear all this stuff that we heard back in the day, because I'm not doing the same stuff I was doing back in the day. So I won't hear about that.
Right.
I still love. I still like to be loved. I still like to hug. I still like to be intimate with my husband. But there's so many other things in life that we want, you know, as we mature and women. And sometimes you have people or seasoned artists, males, that are still singing about some of the same things that they were singing about long time ago.
Right.
You know, thinking that that's going to appeal to the same type of woman long time ago. Nope, new day, new woman.
Yes,
new
ma'am.
Gotta be new lyrics.
Yes.
That's all that I actually enjoy writing from that perspective to a man. And it doesn't have to be corny. You know,
right.
You can still be slick and you can still be good. It just is how you massage the lyrics to suit the person and then how they deliver it that makes the good package, the great package. So, that's just a long-winded answer of saying
I absolutely love
writing for males.
Good, because I was like, you know, guys get to write for females, and it's, you said everything I was feeling, like, I'm not feeling that. So thank you for sharing that. Now,
my pleasure.
You dabbled in the area of jazz. You have a song, Always Remember. Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, in all honesty, I gotta be just honest. I'd like to say that I knew I was gonna be this jazz, gospel, or soul, or R&B, or whatever. But I sing it how it comes out. I've learned as I started digging deeper into my family history, because I wonder where all these sounds come from that I feel just organically. And I learned, you know, my grandfather did a lot in the jazz world. He was a trumpeter, and he played drums. And so, you know, I just had other influences that I found out about. But jazz, that particular song, it wasn't set out to be just a jazz song. But honestly, that's the way that I felt it, and that's the way it came out. And when I finally laid it down and completed it, I said, this has such a jazzy feel to it. And then the jazz station started to pick it up a little bit. So, yeah, I'd like to give you just a beautiful, well-rounded answer of, yes, I've had all these jazz. No, that's not it.
Right.
it just came out that way.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm glad it did. So.
Me too. And I mean, you know, obviously I'm loving this interview, because this interview, if I had to give it a real title, you're the example of when your gift makes room for you, you know, in the different genres and the writing and the producing and the being able to fully express yourself. But what I really love is you have done something that I tell my mentees, you have to be patient and you have to just wait. God will raise you up and he will put you at the seat at the table to which you thought you didn't belong, but the chair was just waiting for you. And so thank you. I mean, you know, just for sharing, for anyone who's listening, you know, just be patient, just wait. Keep doing what you're doing with your craft. Keep writing, keep singing, keep producing, and keep making yourself available. You gotta be available. There's something that you want to do, you know?
Right, and keep at it. Keep at it. Sometimes you hear that so much that you get tired of hearing, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And you're thinking to yourself, but I've been doing it.
right. Right, spent 50 years.
Keeping at it. right. But the harsh reality is that, you know, I look at it, this, and I just had to train my mind, honestly, to think this way. I look at it as that it's going to be a win-win either way, because either way, I'm going to become an expert at something, because I'm going to keep at it and keep at it until I get to my perfect it. Or, you know, God's going to take it another way, and he's going to do something. Either way, it's a win-win.
Right.
What's the alternative? Not to use what I've been given just because I don't think it should be where I think it should be. You
right.
know, if I'm a believer, then I believe that wherever I am, I'm where God has me. While I'm here in this spot, I'm supposed to honor God by using my gift, no matter if it's for one person in that room. That's where
right.
God has me, because that's his training ground. This is God's training ground.
Yes.
Wherever I am before I'm where I think in my head or see in my head I should be, is a training ground that God has me on, so that when that door opens, I can boldly walk through it with the experience and the knowledge that God allowed me to obtain in the training ground.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And I tell everybody, God's not going to give you anything until you're mature enough to handle it.
Oh, God.
I heard.
And you don't want him to.
That's right. Right. How many times did you say, whew, I'm glad I ain't, you know, that didn't work out. Whew, I sure am glad I missed that one, you know, because when you think back,
you know,
I wasn't even really ready. I thought I was, but I really wasn't ready.
Oh, my God. It's like taking a third grader and then putting him in a trigonometry class and saying, have at it.
Right.
That's not going to work out.
Right.
That's not going to work out. There are some steps they're going to have to take to get to that level to understand trigonometry. So why would you want to put yourself someplace where you're not qualified and you'll fail? First,
you'll fail without
having everything that you needed to be where God wants you to be when he thinks you're ready.
Yes, when he knows, because he knows us. He knows. He knows.
When he knows.
Yeah.
When he knows.
Right.
He knows
you was not ready, okay? Someone give you $1 million at the time you thought you was ready, you'd be broke. And there's evidence in the industry
God.
To show that is a true statement. However,
yes, amen.
Michelle Young, thank you for joining us here at Urban Buzz Magazine with Key Players Speak. And we love our key players. So as we say, once a key player, always a key player. So every time you're excelling in your craft and gift, left and you need us as one of your media outlets, you just feel free to reach back out to us and I'll be more than happy to have you back on. So let everybody know your social media, your website, and how they can keep in touch with you, purchase your music.
Well, I'm on all musical digital platforms. My website is www.michonyoung.com. And I'm at Michon Young Music that's my social media handle on both Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My website's updated, so we are actually still putting on the performances for 2024.
Cool.
But my music can also be purchased from there as well.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming through, like I said, and we look forward to hearing some of your music this year, so thank you.
Thank you, Nigeria, for the opportunity and wishing you the best.
Likewise.